Welcome from the deep. I am Mike Finder.
And I am Book of Brett.
And today we are going to be talking about the 1984 film, The Terminator. That is going to be the original Terminator. This is
my Schwarzenegger will get better throughout the episode.
Mine's going to get much, much worse.
Was that not that's good? Just an average. That's just an average frat dude on a Friday.
This is a movie that I don't know. I think maybe a little bit out of our wheelhouse, generally speaking, because we mostly do horror.
You make me generally do horror.
Boo-hoo. Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
If I could roll my eyes out of my head right now, I would.
God, if only.
It took way too long to pick a movie that we were going to do. And it was because Brett threw this big, just what can only be described as a giant hissy fit.
We do too many horror movies. Why do we only do horror?
It's the only way to get you to do anything that I want you to do is by throwing, an adult sized temper tantrum.
Well, we had another movie picked and he was just like, I don't want to do more horror. So we decided.
But the last three have been horror, and we said at the beginning of the year, we were going to be branching out, and then we did three of them in a row because you just can't help yourself.
So anyway, we thought we'd branch out a little bit. I think sci-fi is a good bridge from horror movies into other stuff because horror. Because honestly, there's a lot of horror sensibilities, especially in the Terminator.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, well, I think it's because that's where James Cameron came from, right?
So he actually thought up Terminator while wrapping up his first movie, which was Piranha 2, The Spawnings.
That's right. Yeah.
Or Spawnlings or something like that.
I think it's The Spawning.
So that's kind of where he did get his start in the like creature feature type realm.
Because he also worked on
Titanic.
Yes.
Oh,
that's what I was going to say. Titanic, of course.
Right.
But no, this is I think you're right. He was working on Piranha 2 and he came up with the idea for the Terminator. And then he did Aliens right after this. So he does come from like the whole horror world. And within that world, as we know, there's a lot of horror sensibilities and special effects. And so it's not actually that surprising that the Terminator is this weird, especially the original. The second one, not so much. But the original really is like a good bridge from like horror over into sci-fi. And especially you throw Arnold in there and it's just like fucking perfect.
Yeah.
It really is.
Every time I think of James Cameron, all I can hear is,
his name is James Cameron, the bravest pioneer. No budget too steep, no sea too deep. Who's that? It's him, James Cameron.
It so perfectly encapsulates who he is as a person now. I don't know about him back in 1984, but
James, it's not a real bar.
So, all right. Well, do you want to go ahead and give us a synopsis of Terminator 1?
Yes. Terminator is a documentary about Boston Robotics and their rise and fall as they take over the human race with their robot skeletons. Now, Terminator is, I mean, I'm sure we all know Terminator by now, but Terminator is, the first two are two of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time, and they are the story, or at least this one, is the story of a soldier from the future who has to go back to when Los Angeles was somehow even healthier than it is today.
Nope.
And save Sarah sadly, Connor
that's not
from-
true. That's sadly not true.
You said that such conviction, like, nope, you're wrong. That is incorrect.
I mean,
okay, fair enough. Either way, he has to go back. I'll rephrase. Okay. Is that fair?
Yeah.
A future soldier has to go to filthy, dirty, disgusting, vile 1980s Los Angeles to save Sarah Connor from the clutches of a not quite yet cigar addicted Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know, I think that this is like the perfect role for him because he doesn't have to say much. And at this point, I'm not sure how fluent he was with English. And I know that was a really big problem whenever he did Conan. And they basically had to ADR his entire movie in order to make it kind of watchable. So this is like the perfect fucking role for him right out of the gate, like early 80s. So, all right, let's jump over into the podcast drive-in here. The Terminator from 1984. It's rated R. It is an hour and 47 minutes. Has an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, which is very fucking high. We do not often see...
Because it's almost perfect.
Ooh, God, fucking...
Yeah.
That was awful. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's pretty fucking perfect. I don't know if we're going to talk much about the sequels today, but if we take this movie as a standalone film, this is a really, really strong fucking movie. So an 8.1 does feel about right. The one sentence synopsis on IMDb here says a human soldier is sent from 2029 to 1984 to stop an almost indestructible cyborg killing machine sent from the same year, which has been programmed to execute a young woman whose unborn son is the key to humanity's future salvation. God damn, that is a good synopsis of this film.
That
finally,
is a pretty good synopsis.
We do not IMDb synopsis very often. It's directed by James Cameron, obviously. It's written by James Cameron, Gail Ann Hurd, and William Wisher. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, and Michael Biehn. I think that this is damn near the perfect fucking cast for this fucking movie. Honestly, Linda Hamilton is amazing in this. Michael Biehn does fucking great. Arnold Schwarzenegger,
like him anyway.
Like we said, this is the perfect role for him, especially before he's really getting a lot of work with bigger speaking roles. So it's just like, dude, this movie is just firing on all fucking cylinders right out of the gate. And it really, you know, rewatching this movie really made me kind of realize, like, I am shocked at how well this movie fucking holds up. Now, now, like I said, I don't want to talk about any of the sequels today. I want to try to look at the Terminator as just a standalone movie. If we can look at it through the lens of like 1984, that way we kind of put some perspective on where this movie is coming from, because there are some things in here that don't hold up quite as much as you'd like to. But as a whole, I think this is still a really strong film in 2024. So let's try to do it that way. We will talk about our overall impressions. We will talk about little spoilers here and there. I think everybody's already seen this by now at this point, so there's not a whole lot to spoil.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, it's on you.
Yeah, so we're not really going to avoid the whole spoiler thing, but then we will give our ratings and talk about our final thoughts toward the end of the review. So do you want to give me your initial thoughts on The Terminator from 1984?
The Terminator from 1984 is awesome. I generally don't watch this nearly as much as I watch the second one. I feel like it's a pretty big consensus that the second one is more popular and is better. I'm going to say it. It's better. But this one is just, I mean, it's right up my alley. It's got action. It's sci-fi, which I am a much bigger, I am a sci-fi fan, not so much in the way that Mike is a horror fan, but much more a sci-fi fan than I am a horror fan. I feel like the horror movies we've done generally have some type of sci-fi aspects to them. But this to me is one of the best ways that you make a sci-fi movie rooted in contemporary, in a contemporary environment without really making it cheesy or going too overboard. Like when we jump to the future scenes, we get a lot of cheese, a lot of 80s cheese, because the things that people thought were going to be futuristic in the 80s, like guns, turned out to just be super soaker designs. And so I think that it does a really good job of maintaining a sci-fi element while rooting it in today's society, or, well, 1984 society. You can see when we cut to the scenes of the future how it does go really, really cheesy. But when we're in present day, there isn't really a lot of room to go cheesy. I mean, it's cheesy by our standards today, but that's because everybody was so coked out in the 80s that they didn't know they were making bad decisions.
Can we like go one hair. Episode without talking about cocaine?
They were. I'm sorry. It's the 80s. Like, what do you want from me? It was the 80s. Did you see the hairstyles in this?
Hell yeah.
There's no way that wasn't done by some coked out hairdresser back in the 80s. But again, like the some aspects of the movie have aged. The special effects are pretty clearly special effects. You can tell. But again, when you look at it from the scope of like 1984, it's pretty fucking impressive, man.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. Even like the prosthetics they had for his face, it was like a prosthetic mask rather than a stationary head. And so you've still got these human-like movements to it. And so even that is like a step above what I think you would really, really expect in the 80s for like that kind of stuff. Like normally you would get like dummies, you get some kind of like stationary head on a body. And I think a lot of this is them putting like a mask over his face. And yeah, it looks like a mask. Yeah, it looks like rubber or silicone or whatever they were using, but it still looks cool even in today, even looking at it from today.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think that one of the weakest things in this movie are some of the special effects. But I also, honestly, I think that it's also a lot of the charm that comes from this movie is the special effects. And like we were saying earlier, I think that
like if the Highlander lighting.
Well, that I was thinking more like the stop motion of the actual Terminator toward the end.
Yeah,
I love all of that stuff because it really shows like how much they were able to accomplish without fucking right. CGI. I think that if we look at this through the lens of 1984, the special effects don't hold up. I think the eye part is the part for me that is not the best. And if we really want to look at it, like if we go over and look at some of the movies from 1984 here, it's really kind of impressive what they were able to accomplish. If we start looking at some of these horror movies here, like Razorback and Gremlins and all this other stuff, for the budget that they had. And now I'm curious, the budget is $6.4 million.
Jesus Christ. Today is the GDP of America.
It does seem like really low for how much, but if we're like talking about like grand scope of this movie, the future stuff is the only stuff that is really, really expensive. There's a lot of explosions and stuff in the 80s side of things, like the fucking, like all the pipe bombs and all that stuff toward the end. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that probably ate up a lot of that budget, but like, I would imagine that a lot of the money that was spent on special effects are the head and a lot of the futuristic stuff, which in my opinion is my favorite stuff. I think that's what gives this movie all of its charm is the mm-hmm. sci-fi cheesy shit that you were talking about. And then you mix it, like, especially when he's like fixing his arm and shit like that. There's a little bit of gore in here. People literally get exploded and it's just, dude, it is everything that I fucking love about 80s sci-fi is just jam-packed into this movie. And it is, dude, it's like, if we're not talking about any of the other sequels, this is one of the best sci-fi movies that has ever been made in my memory, because the fucking script is good. It's smart. It's high-minded. It's forward-thinking. It's everything about it is so relevant to the shit that we talk about today. And it's from 1984. That's the craziest fucking part about it.
And it's probably going to fucking happen.
That's what's really fucking crazy is him. I just imagine him sitting down writing this in 1984. Like, wouldn't it be crazy if ... and then cut to 2024 and we have Boston Robotics, like you were saying, we have fucking Elon Musk doing self-driving cars, like all of these things that he had no idea was coming. All of it's in this script, like literally all James of it.
Do you think James Cameron wrote this whole script in the Death Note?
I mean, it definitely, if you really start to pick this apart, it definitely feels like he had a fucking door to the future or something, dude. Yeah, like crazy.
This is based 4 years from now, from right now, or 5 years from now.
It's in 2029, right?
So, and I mean, if you look at the advancements that like Boston Robotics has been making with their robots, you look at this and you're like, I mean, if they started learning, it would take them like a month to get to this point.
I saw a thing just yesterday This was like, it was somebody had done a bunch of like theoretical tests on what AI would do, and all of them ended up in it destroying humanity.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I this is a very real thing. Like, conspiracy theory or not, this is a very real thing. If you give, he even says in the movie, like, it was plugged into everything, i.e. the internet. And if you give it just free rein to make decisions and to run our lives and all of that stuff, it's pretty clear that that's kind of what would happen. And I love the fact that he says that it made the decision of humanity in a millisecond, and that's all it took for it to completely try to kill everybody on the planet. It is so, dude, it's just so fucking smart. And that is why this movie holds up, because it is sci-fi with a brain. It is not the thing I don't like about most sci-fi is that it's kind of like, isn't space cool? Isn't space awesome? Wouldn't it be cool to go into space? But this,
Total Recall, aliens have scales.
Exactly.
Aliens are made of jelly.
They have feathers. Ooh. Like, that's the stuff I don't generally care about on sci-fi. But like with something with this, it's not only got stuff to say, but it's also really intelligent with how it's saying it. And not to mention, it just sets up some of the coolest fucking scenes of any sci-fi that I can think of. And it's just fucking incredible how forward thinking this movie is.
Do you think like 5 years ago, James Cameron realized what he'd wrote? He saw the relevance of it today, and he's just been building a bunker ever since. Like, no, fuck it, man. I know it's coming. Nope, we're going underground.
I mean, I think that he did say something not that long ago. Let me see if I can find this, because this is really interesting if I can find it. This is, I quote, I warned you guys in 1984, James Cameron, over the concerns of AI.
I warned you guys in 1984. You didn't listen. Sure. Look, I mean, you've got to follow the money. Who's building these things, right? They're either building it to dominate market share. So what are you teaching it? Greed. Or you're building it for defensive purposes. So you're teaching it paranoia. I think the weaponization of AI is the biggest danger. I think that we will get into the equivalent of a nuclear arms race with AI. And if we don't build it, the other guys are for sure going to build it. And so then it'll escalate. And you know, you could imagine an AI in a combat theater, the whole thing just being fought by the computers at a speed that humans can no longer intercede. You have no ability to de-escalate. And when you're dealing with the potential of it escalating to nuclear warfare, de-escalation is the name of the game. And having that pause, that timeout, but will they do that? The AIs will not.
See, and that's the sort of fucking thing I'm talking about here. So I just think it's fucking crazy. That's where his mind was at in 1984. And he even says in that clip, like, I warned you back in 1984. Dude, it's just so prolific in thinking that fucking far ahead. And when you look back at it, it's kind of like, duh. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
when you think about him thinking about all of this stuff in 1984, it's not duh. It's like literally mind blowing.
Well, and not only that, he mentioned something in there that was really interesting, where he says you're teaching it greed, or you're teaching it paranoia. And that is because that's what human beings thrive on.
That's true. I mean,
we're teaching it the things that benefit us at an individualistic level. And that's what we're going to teach them. And that's what's so funny is what he's right. When you teach it those things, that's what you get. Terminator is what you get.
Yeah. And how is it going to come to any other outcome than I need to destroy all of these people because they're in my way of my ultimate greed and shit? Like, how do I streamline this process of whatever I'm trying to accomplish as much as possible? These fucking people and their feelings are in the way. We gotta get rid of them.
Right. Well, yeah, it's kind of like how I treat my dog, honestly.
Are you gonna go deeper into that, or?
No, I wasn't going to. I feel like the hole's big enough. But no, I
that's the what she
the only
sorry.
Gee, that was so lazy.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, no, the thing that I take solace in if something like this happens is, you know, backwards time travel not being a possibility.
Oh,
and so,
yeah.
I mean, there's at least that they can't go back and they can go forward, but backward won't be an option. So at least there's that. But the sad part is I have to take solace in this because I know that as long as the money and quote ambition is there, we'll get here eventually.
Well, I think what's really interesting about all of this is how Linda Hamilton's character develops in this fucking franchise. It is, when you go back and watch Terminator 1, it's really easy to forget when you're watching anything past Terminator 1, where she came from as a character, and not even in the sequels, like where she starts at the beginning and where she ends in this movie, is that the fucking character development and her arc is so compelling and interesting and well written that I think that more than anything else, because you got to have a protagonist that you actually give a fuck about in a movie like this, and she is the perfect fucking protagonist to care about in this film.
Yeah, because I mean, she does not want to be in the situation that she's in. She does not immediately go into badass mode.
Yeah.
She doesn't go into badass mode until the last like 20 fucking minutes of this movie. Up until the last 20 minutes, she is a borderline liability in this movie.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point when you can kind of all see it click for her. And when we get to the point where she finally is like, okay, I gotta get my shit together because this dude isn't looking so good. I remember watching it and thinking how she just immediately goes to get up soldier. And I remember the first couple times I watched this, that part of the movie always struck me as a little bit forced. And then the more I thought about it and the more I put myself into her character's head, the more I think that that was more her going, this is the only thing that's going to get Reese motivated to get the fuck up and start moving.
Well, yeah, because when you think about his backstory, it would be one of the few ways that he would actually come back from that, because that's what he's been doing his entire life. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I think you're right. Her character development in this is how you develop characters.
Yes.
Like everybody in this movie, every single person in this movie, I give a shit about with one degree of intensity or another. It doesn't matter how small or anything like that. I care about them. And sometimes it's because they're kind of floating in the gravity of the other characters around them. But them being there, their delivery, like all the actors in this are great. Down to the psychiatrist we see for 5 minutes. Like everybody does such a good fucking job in this movie, but it would be nothing if this movie wasn't so meticulously written the way that it is, because it would be so easy for this to fall off into like Babylon 5 territory, where it starts, not that Babylon 5's bad or anything, I like Babylon 5, but Babylon 5 does have like an overt cheesiness to it, especially like the original run of the series, and it would be so easy to fall off into that cheesy cliche territory of sci-fi. And this never does that. Every step this movie takes in sci-fi territory is new ground.
Well, that's, I think, a testament to the fucking script, because like every character reacts in a way that you would imagine when somebody shows up and goes, hey, I'm from the future and I'm here to save you. Like her initial reaction is like, yeah, uh-huh, sure. Like,
right.
And like you said, the therapist, the police, all of them react in a very organic, real way that you would react if somebody was talking all of this shit. Like, I'm from the future and there's Terminators and they killed everyone. And it's like, I love when when the therapist stops the tape and is like, I could make a whole fucking career off of this guy because he's clearly fucking insane. Those are all very genuine, real reactions. And they feel as if they're coming from actual real people, which is what really gives this entire entire movie the gravity that it has, because if they were all reacting in a way that like a cheesy 80s sci-fi slash horror movie sort of a way, none of it would feel nearly as impactful and interesting and real as it does. And because those characters, and like you said, every single one of them, by the way, all feel like real, genuine people, the whole fucking thing stands up this many years later, and it's all helped by the insanely good fucking acting that every single person in this movie has. All of them have the chops. Even Arnold walking around, not really saying much. And there are points where it's, you know, you can see if you're familiar with Arnold's other work, you can see him.
God damn it. Why can't I do it?
Because it's surprisingly difficult. But if you're familiar with Arnold's other work, you can see how early on he was in this movie and how kind of inexperienced he was, like actually delivering lines and all of that stuff. But it doesn't hold the movie back because he is playing a fucking robot. So it works. Right. It's just the perfect casting all around, especially Linda Hamilton. Like, goddamn.
Do you think the robots gave him an Austrian accent because they looked back in human history and went, the Nazis had something going on? They were doing something right.
It would be interesting to explore, like,
why they gave their T-1000s or why they gave their Terminators an Austrian accent. Yeah. No, I could, it doesn't need to be a movie, but I could definitely sit through an entire short story on them deciding what accent to give their robots.
Well, especially when you think about number two and he's just like this blue eyed blonde haired.
Right. Like, I'm telling you, the robots were, they have no sympathy. They have no empathy. They're like, well, that's what we want to do.
Well, it's like, it's almost as if they were looking at like, who are some of the worst like people in history? And they just came up with this. And it's like, that is what is scary. So we'll just do that.
Do you think, and you can cut this out, do you think that they were looking for the most successful dictators of all time?
For sure. I mean, if we look at AI now, like AI art, for instance, all they're doing is taking things from different artists and like, you know, amalgamating them and just smushing them all together. So I would imagine that that's like, if we're going off of what AI does now and applying that sensibility to what was going on in the Terminators and, you know, 2029 and this fictitious, like, it's the same thing. It's them taking a bunch of horrible people and mashing them together, generally speaking, obviously, like from history. In Terminator 2, the guy has a straight up English accent, like, or an American accent.
Right.
And he doesn't have any like discernible. I mean, he just seems like a guy from California. So it is, it is interesting to think about, like, why would they give Arnold an accent and not any of the others? Because if we skip ahead to like T3 and T4, it continues with no accents. So it is, I don't know, it is really interesting. And all that is to say, like, this is clearly a thought experiment, and no one thought about this at all, I don't think, whenever they were putting this movie together. So to think about it is kind of silly in general, but yeah.
But no, but again, though, that's what's so profound about this movie is that sci-fi has always touched on a lot of like current events. Star Trek is a prime example.
Yeah.
Prime example. Star Trek is all about, basically every race represented a different country on Earth.
Yeah.
And so, but this movie is so profound because it's a sci-fi action movie that came out in a day and age where high-mindedness was like the exception and not the rule.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's why it stands the test of time, because it really does feel like it's trying to not only entertain you, but really make you think about the fucking world you're living in and why things are happening the way they're happening, and trying to look forward enough to really question, is the shit that we're doing now the right thing? And I think we're only just now getting to a point of answering the question that this brings up in 1984. And that is so compelling to think about. And it is so interesting that it has taken this fucking long to get to a point of even thinking about any of this shit. It's just it's fucking mind blowing. It really is.
Yeah. So, well, and again, that's what the problem is, though, is because this is why, dude, I've been saying this for years now. Has nobody watched Terminator?
Yeah.
I've been saying it every time. Every time there's a new thing from Boston Robotics where they're like, look at this amazing thing that we did. But should you?
Now let's kick it.
Like, we're going to bully it, but it's a test.
It does feel like they think that they can control it in one way or another. And you put some sort of escape plan onto it or some shit. But I just don't.
Do you think that do you think in 60 years, robots are going to look at Boston Robotics the way that a lot of people, including the black communities, look at the Tuskegee experiments?
It's very possible. We're living in a time right now that is going to be looked back at as the beginning of some shit that all of us should have known better. Of us should have known better. Laws should have been passed. Rules should have been set up. We are living in that moment right now. And unfortunately, our fucking politicians are all 1,000 years old and none of them even know that this is happening. They can't get their mind around fucking Facebook. And so we're sitting around wondering what the future of AI is going to do. And they're like, I think Facebook stole my recipe type shit.
Did you see that thing where they were talking? I think it was the CEO or one of the head engineers at Google. And they were trying to get him to explain how it can track them. And they were like, so if I leave my phone over there and I step over there, is it going to know where I'm at?
This is what I'm talking about. And this is how we
all do.
Yes. This is how we get to a point of AI being able to take over, because we all have doddering old fucking fools running this fucking country that have no idea the technology that is going on right now. And all of these people like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk know that they are smarter than the people running this country. And so they're able to get away with shit that you would never be able to get away with if you had somebody savvy in office, able to actually think and understand and implement rules that could stop shit like this. And we're only 5 fucking years away from all of it happening. It's fucking terrifying. Wow.
I don't know if it's actually 5 years. I mean, Terminator is in a crystal ball.
In the timeline.
In the timeline. Yes, absolutely. I think what's going to get even more depressing is if we watch more Terminator movies and we're just going to keep sitting here going
That's just because there are more Terminators past T2. That's why it's going to be depressing. But what I want to talk about here is how everything is wrapped up in this film, because my favorite part is when he comes out and says, I have been staring at this photo of you forever and thinking about it is super creepy, but I've been trying to figure out what you were thinking in this moment. I've memorized every curve and every line in this photo. And then at the end of the fucking movie, the photo gets taken. She's talking to John Connor about John Connor's dad. And it turns out the entire time that he's been wondering, what is she thinking about in this photo? It's fucking him. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is wrapped up. It's the perfect goddamn ending. It's so fucking well written. And it's perfect, so fucking smart. And all of it fits together like this perfect fucking puzzle. Mm-hmm. And it's just so intelligently written. And this is why I have such a hard time watching movies nowadays, because nobody writes stuff in this way anymore, where you sit down at the end and you're like, God damn, that was such a satisfying ending. And the setup was good. All of it just fits together in this way that feels good to watch and is satisfying beyond belief. And that is why this movie holds up so well. Despite how I feel about Avatar and current James Cameron and some of the choices he's made after Terminator 2 and everything else, this movie is fucking genius all around. And it is incredible how far he's fallen after this movie.
I, I would pay so much money to see Edward Furlong's bloated ass come back and play John Connor in the future.
100%. But see, then we get into the more current stuff where they fucking CGI John Connor in. I don't know if you've seen those. But
no,
like,
not yet. Not yet. I keep meaning to get caught up on the new ones, but I love this idea of him coming on, like, on screen the way he looks now, and just everybody going around going like, that's the guy.
That's our great military leader.
That's our great military leader. He looks like Castro at the end of days. Like, what is happening right now?
I would love it. He's asthmatic and fat and can barely even walk the fucking battleground. Like, that'd be great.
Okay, I've got 5 minutes in between my band's set. What do you all want?
All right. Well, do you have anything else on this, or do you want to get into final thoughts and ratings?
I think body shaming Edward Furlong is a perfect ending to this.
All right. Well, why don't you give me your final thoughts and your rating for Terminator 1984?
Terminator is, you know, I hadn't watched it in a long time. I wasn't sure what I was going into. You and I actually talked before we went to go watch it about how, you know, T2 is better than T1. And now that we're talking about it, I don't know that it is. From an action standpoint, from a special effects standpoint, it might be. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it again.
From a cinema standpoint, T2 might be better, but like from a just like idea script,
from a relevance standpoint, from its level of relevance, T1 might be the best one. As far as that aspect of it goes.
It just doesn't have the cinematic chops that the sequel does. I think that's the biggest thing that it has working against it.
That's true. I do like that they brought back a semi truck scene in the second one.
Yeah.
But overall, no, dude, T1 gets a 10 out of 10 from me. I told you before, it is one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time. The writing is perfect. The casting was perfect. The cinematography, the acting, the everything about this movie hits the nail on the fucking head.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with pretty much all of that. I want to read my Letterboxd review here. This still holds up so damn well, even if some of the effects don't. The stop motion is top tier for its time, and the plot and script is smart, fun, and high-minded. This has withstood the test of time for a reason, and I understand why it spawned a franchise that raised multiple generations, but it's still not as good as its sequel. I loved this movie, and I gotta tell you, after having talked about it for about an hour with you, I think that I'm gonna come up on my rating a little bit. I initially gave this an 8 out of 10. I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 9. Dude, this is, I think the more we broke it down and the more how prolific it is, how smart it is, how fun it is, the acting, the script, dude, it's just
the pacing.
The pacing is good. You know, I remember it had been several years since I watched this, and I had remembered thinking the last time I watched it, like, this is mostly kind of like chase type stuff. That's what I remember thinking. But it's not. It's far
like
more
Lord
than
of the
that.
Rings on fast forward.
Yeah, exactly. But it's way more than that. It's when you really look at how forward thinking and smart this movie is, it is really hard to give this anything under a 9. And I just think that this is genuinely one of the smartest, best, well-written sci-fi movies of all time. And I think that the franchise itself, regardless of how you feel about anything past T2, this is one of the strongest like beginnings of any franchise that exists out there.
You know, so, I was sitting here thinking, like, because I keep saying it's one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time, or series of all time. I think the only sci-fi series, like movie series, I like more than Terminator is the Aliens franchise.
You know,
Alien franchise is, and that's not me going, which one, you know, are there other? Alien is my favorite sci-fi franchise. All time. And this, I think, might be, I'd have to really like ponder over, but I think the Terminator franchise might be my second favorite.
I really like doing these classic reviews because it's like it really gives me an opportunity to sit down and watch a movie I've seen half a dozen to a dozen times and really try to pick it apart and figure out why it's good, why I like it, and why it holds up so well this many years later. So we may have to do Aliens after this.
And then you can get really, really sad when you realize that these are what mainstream movies used to be like.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if mainstream is the right word because these were still, I don't know. We don't
block, but when I say mainstream, I mean like blockbuster movies and maybe not so much Alien, but Terminator was a blockbuster.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And now we have things like, I don't know, what's the last big sci-fi movie?
Blue Beetle.
No, that's a superhero movie. That doesn't count.
We did get Interstellar. That was really good.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there are, but that's the thing is sci-fi. Yeah. Dune, sci-fi has so much potential to really stretch the boundaries of everything in the cinematic language. And I think that's why I've always liked sci-fi so much is because you can use it to make profound statements. You can use it to make amazing sceneries. You can use it to really bring the human imagination onto the screen. And that's what I think has always been so amazing about sci-fi is that it's really got the potential to be really good, middle of the road, or really bad. But even so, it's a lot like horror in that way, where even the really bad ones have redeeming qualities.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's a little more socially acceptable than horror is. And you can reach a broader audience while still maintaining the same sensibilities as a horror movie. And I think Terminator is a great fucking example of that. There's special effects that had you put into a horror movie it would not stand out at all, and you'd be like, yep, that belongs there. So is fucking crazy how similar these two genres are.
Look at Stargate. Stargate's a great example. Like Stargate, if you just want like a fun action movie to watch, you can watch it. But there is a very real message about human subjugation in that movie as well. And so this is what's so, again, this is why I love sci-fi so much, because it uses the idea of blockbuster, eye-catching, exciting movies. And there's almost always an underlying theme in there somewhere.
Yeah. And it really, if you're paying attention, that's the good thing about one of the good things about sci-fi and horror has some of this too, especially more avant-garde art house horror. It works on two different levels. If you're there to just see kills and explosions and badass, big blockbustery popcorn type shit, it works on that level. And then you can also start to pick it apart, like in Terminator, about what it's saying about society and where we're moving and all of that stuff. And it just works on two different levels. And every great piece of cinematic art works on both of those levels. And when you do it correctly, like Terminator, it will stand the test of time forever. This is a movie that will be significant, profound, and important forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because it has those two qualities.
Especially the further in the future we go.
Yes.
And the closer we get to this all becoming a reality.
Absolutely. So if you like this, make sure you hit the like button. If you really liked it, make sure you hit the subscribe button because we got a lot more content like this on this channel. I think that, this taught me a valuable lesson today. We need to be doing more sci-fi because this is something that I don't get into nearly as much. This is something that I think that if we lean more toward, we have to do more movies like this because the modern shit for me just feels shallow. And like, you know what I really want to do? Fucking Blade Runner. And the Blade Runner sequel. And like there are things there are things in the sci-fi genre that I am not familiar enough with that I would love to sit down and try to pick apart in the same way that we just did this. And so I admit this was a good pick. This was a good pick.
I will say if we're going to do a sci-fi movie, we do need to do one that I don't know a lot of people. I know a lot of people in the sci-fi community have watched it, but I don't personally know a lot of people that have watched it. And it's THX 1138. It was George Lucas's first sci-fi film before he did Star Wars.
Okay.
And it's fucking incredible.
All right. Well, if you have any suggestions for sci-fi movies that we haven't touched on or that you want to maybe see us do and pick apart in this same way, leave them down in the comments, because I am more open now to doing sci-fi now that we've done this. I think this was eye-opening. And I think if we can find more stuff like this that is significant, I'll be down. All right. Thank you guys for watching. I know that we've been doing some weird stuff and our schedules have been weird and all that stuff, but we really appreciate all the support we've been getting lately. Thank you guys for watching. And we will see you guys next time for Run the Deep.
Did you want to do the subscribe comment?
We did that already.
You didn't do subscribe or like.
I did.
Ta-ta.
Bye.